You and I have borders around our life. And there's things that come in and out of our life based on how secure our boundaries are. Learn to guard the borders of what God is rebuilding in your life.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Halleck, in the studio with Pastor Mark Job, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church. And New Life Community Church is a unique place here in the city of Chicago. And Pastor Mark, what would you say to somebody out there who may not have a church home, or who's been listening online, or they've been listening on the radio, and they want to grow in their faith?
I would say find a good church, gospel-preaching, Jesus-honoring, faith-filled, love-filled church. And there's some great churches around Chicagoland, and I'm friends with a lot of great pastors that really love Jesus and are in this city. But we'd invite you also, if you don't know where to go, we'd love for you to check out one of our locations. And if you get onto our website, you can go to our page that says locations, and you'll have a map of Chicagoland, and you can find one of our locations that's near you. We'd love to have you visit. And if you do, please let the pastor know that you heard about this through Straight Talk. We'd love to hear how our radio listeners give us some feedback.
If you say, I love God, I have a heart for God, I really haven't connected with the Church of Jesus, we want to challenge you to visit, at least just take a visit to a good gospel preaching church. And as Pastor Mark said, if you don't know where to go, come visit us. You can find out more information at www.newlifechicago.org. God bless you.
Thanks, Josh. We are continuing in Pastor Mark's series today called Rebuild, Your Life, Your City, Your World, and our in-depth study of the book of Nehemiah. We'll be in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 7, and here's Pastor Mark with his message called Securing the Borders of Your Life.
We've been studying the book of Nehemiah verse by verse. There's 13 chapters in the Bible under the head of Nehemiah. And God placed 13 chapters of Nehemiah in the Bible for a reason. Every word of God and every story and every account is in the Word for a reason. And I believe there's a strong message that's applicable to you and I in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is all about rebuild. It's about rebuilding lives, rebuilding a city, rebuilding a church. I think it can apply to us about rebuilding our families, our marriages, our own spiritual lives. So the main theme of Nehemiah is this concept of rebuild. And for those of you that haven't been here every week during this series, let me just kind of give you a two-minute background. Many of you know that Nehemiah, his grandparents or great-grandparents, were taken as slaves from Jerusalem, taken all the way to the city of Susa, where he grew up, made his way out of slavery, mainstream society, climbed up the ladder, and Nehemiah found himself as the assistant to the most powerful person on the face of the earth at that time. He had prestige, he had power, he had money, his life was good, and suddenly God interrupts his life when he gets news about Jerusalem. He gets a burden he can't shake. He tries to get rid of it. He tries to ignore it. He can't. And for 100 days, for 3 months, he tosses and turns. He prays. He fasts. He can't get rid of this burden. So finally he goes to his boss and says, I have to do something about this. The hand of God was upon him. His boss says, you can leave and go to Jerusalem. So he relocates 800 miles from the city of Susa to the ghetto of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a city that had been in ruins for 140 years. That's a long time to be in ruins. The houses were burned down. The wall was devastated. The infrastructure was ruined. The morale was low. The temple was built but non-functional. It was a devastated city. Nehemiah moves into the city of Jerusalem. He rallies up the people to have a vision to rebuild that city. And so they go through internal opposition, external opposition. They assign people chunks of the wall. They start rebuilding the wall. And miraculously, in 52 days, they rebuild a mile and a half wall around Jerusalem. The wall is 15 feet high, 3 feet wide, and it's built by people who, for the most part, are not skilled laborers in building the wall. So we arrive at chapter 7. And here's how it starts. after the wall had been rebuilt, and I had the door set in place, the gatekeepers and the singers and the Levites were appointed. Now this, after the wall is rebuilt, the job is not finished. And really, Nehemiah chapter 7 is all about this. I want you to just get this in your mind. It's all about guarding the borders of your life. Here's the theme of Nehemiah chapter 7. Learn to guard the borders of what God is rebuilding in your life. Now, borders have been a big issue lately in America, right? There's been a lot of issue over the border between Mexico and the United States. There's been a lot of issue about the borders of Canada. There's been a lot of, it's been in the news, our customs in the airports, right? Because one of the things that we're frightened about is securing our borders so there will not be a terrorist attack. So it's been on the news. How secure are our borders? How vulnerable are we? What should be the methods of securing our borders? And so we understand national borders. But I want to say that every life has a border as well. That you and I have borders around our life. We have boundaries around our life. And there's things that come in and out of our life based on how secure our boundaries are. So with that in mind, I want us to look at Nehemiah chapter 7, and I want us to extract some principles that are important in securing the borders of our life. So principle number one, I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. If you're going to secure the border of your life, you must set your spiritual priorities in order first. Notice what it says. After Nehemiah had built the wall, they finally built the wall, they hang the last door, and everybody starts clapping and cheering, yay, it's finished! But wait a second, it's not finished, it's only begun. The very first thing that Nehemiah does, it's just kind of uncanny, kind of strange what he would do. The very first thing that he does is he appoints three groups of people. He appoints the gatekeepers that are like ushers. He appoints singers. And he appoints Levites who are the priests. Now imagine for a second if you're trying to rebuild a city. Let's just kind of bring it to Chicago. And let's say there had been some big earthquake or hurricane or tornado in Chicago. The city's devastated. Well, you know, the infrastructure's broken down. We try to rebuild it. And Mayor Daley says, wow, we really need to get this city in order. Let's recruit a choir. That's the first thing we need to do. A choir? Well, why would we recruit a choir? Well, Nehemiah understood that everything flows out of your spiritual center and spiritual priorities. So the first three groups of people that Nehemiah sets in order in this devastated city are the choir, the singers, the worshipers. Secondly, the ushers who keep order in the temple and just guard the temple door. And thirdly, the Levites who are the priests that offer sacrifice and do religious services. Now the question is, why those three groups of people? Because the city of Jerusalem, as it was being rebuilt, it needed a soul before it needs a structure. You see, oftentimes we go about solving the problems of our life by ignoring the center of the real problem in our life. You see, some of us think that our problem is that, our problem is the spouse that we're married to if they had a better attitude. But the real core of our problem is our spiritual life. Some of us think that really everything would be solved if the mother-in-law would just kind of butt out of our business. But you know, that's not the real problem. Oftentimes the core of our problem starts with our spiritual life. It starts with our heart. Now let me illustrate it this way. Have you ever tried to get dressed in the dark? Sometimes I've done that. I have a meeting in the morning. I don't want to wake up my wife, so trying to be considerate, I'll try to, fumble around for my clothes and not turn the lights on. And I've done this before where I button my shirt. Well, first of all, I have unmatching socks, a blue one and a black one, and I don't realize it until, you know, you get into the light. But if you've ever done this before, you start to button your shirt, and you button the wrong button to the wrong hole, the first one. Has everybody ever done that? I think some of you actually have the wrong button on your shirt here. And what happens when you have the wrong first button? What happens to your second button? It's misaligned. And then the third button and fourth button and fifth button, and all of your buttons get misaligned because you missed the mark with your first button. Is that not true? Our life is like that when it comes to our spiritual priorities. If you do not get your spiritual priority right, which is your first button, then chances are it's like a domino effect. The rest of the buttons in your life will also be off alignment with God and God's will and the best for your life because your spiritual priorities are not in order. Your marriage will suffer. Your finances will not be quite in place. I run into some people that want to rebuild their life, and so they go about all of the buttons but miss the first button. And they say, well, you know, I have to do debt consolidation, and I have a plan to get my finances in order and to put about some savings and to buy the house. I'm really working with my accountant. That's good. I'm glad you are. And then also, I want to get my physical life in order, so I'm going to the gym 3 or 4 times a week. I talked to a nutritionist, and they told me what I need to eat. I got this program, this exercise program down. I bought some shakes that I drink in the morning, one in the afternoon, one in the evening. Tastes real nasty, but hey, I got a plan. Well, that's good. And then I talked to a career assessment person, and they laid out a track of how to really improve my career. And to do so, I'm studying some graduate school and some college. And I talked to my advisor. I got a plan. I got some courses. I'm getting my life in order. And I say, that's good. But if you're trying to get all aspects of your life in order, but you have neglected the center of your soul, which is your heart, and your spiritual life, then my friend, you are missing the one thing that puts all things in proper perspective and balance, and that's your heart. Amen. And so what Nehemiah was doing is he's trying to rebuild a city, but he says what needs to get happening first, before there's a sewer system, before there's garbage disposal, before there's police, before there's streets and sanitation, we got the choir singing in this devastated city. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but Nehemiah understood we got to get the spiritual part in order first so that everything flows out of that. Now, let me say this. When we're talking about getting our spiritual life in order, you know, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." All what things? All the other things in life.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Securing the Borders of Your Life, which is from our current series called Rebuild, Your Life, Your City, Your World. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Nehemiah chapter 7, and his message is called Securing the Borders of Your Life.
If there's a priority of seeking the kingdom and his righteousness, and then everything else will fall in place. I love the story of Jesus when he was at the house of Mary and Martha, who were the sisters of Lazarus, the fellow that was resurrected. And there's a gathering at Mary and Martha's house, and Martha was a purposeful individual, a high D personality, always worried about making sure everything was perfect, and she's frantic and a little bit overwhelmed with all the stress of getting things ready for the guests that are coming over to the house. And she looks at her sister Mary, and Mary's sitting there at the feet of Jesus, listening to him, and she says, "Jesus, please, could you tell Mary to help me out? I mean, I'm really stressed out." And Jesus says to her, "Martha, Martha." You know when you're in trouble when people say your name twice, right? Mark, Mark. Martha, Martha. You're worried and anxious about a lot of things. And then Jesus says something that kind of shocks you a little bit. But he says only one thing is needed. One thing, Jesus, come on. I mean, I got 1,000 things I'm juggling. No, one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that one thing. Now, what did he mean by one thing is needed? Jesus was saying, this is the priority. If you get this straight, everything in life tends to fall into place. It's the piece of the puzzle that if you get it right, all the other pieces of the puzzle start falling in place as well. Well, what is the secret of life? What is that one thing? He doesn't explain it. He doesn't say what Mary was doing, but he illustrates this. What was Mary doing? Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening, quiet and listening to the words of Jesus. There's a place in all of our lives that there's a place in our heart and our lives that has to be quiet to listen to the voice of God. When our spiritual life is well, is healthy, we're in right relationship with God, we're hearing God, we're walking at peace with God, it's amazing. It doesn't mean that everything in life is going to go smoothly, there's not going to be troubles, there's not going to be problems. It doesn't mean that. Life is full of problems. Things happen. People get sick. Jobs close. It doesn't mean that everything goes smoothly, but it means that when you have your spiritual priorities straight, that God gives you the power, the ability, the wisdom, the strength to be able to handle whatever comes your way because your spiritual compass is on target. Amen? So, if you're guarding your borders of your life, that one of the best guards of the borders of your life is, first of all, you need to get your spiritual life straight. Number two, I'm talking about securing the borders of your life. After he appointed the gatekeepers and the singers and Levites, he put in charge of Jerusalem, basically appointed a mayor of Jerusalem, Hanani, along with Hananiah, the commander of the citadel, because he was a man of integrity and feared God more than most men do. Verse 3. I said to them, the gates of Jerusalem are not to be opened until the sun is hot. While the gatekeepers are still on duty, have them shut the doors and bar them. Also appoint residents of Jerusalem as guards, some at their posts and some near their houses. The second principle in guarding your borders is this. If you're going to secure the borders of your life, you will need to establish standards to control what comes in and out of your life. So Nehemiah built the wall around Jerusalem, but just because you build the wall doesn't mean that everything is finished. Now you have to control, you have to establish borders, your customs, so to speak, to control what comes in and out of your life. And I want you to notice this. Most cities in that day had a standard practice. When the sun rose, they opened up the gates of the city. When the sun went down, they closed the gates of the city. Notice Nehemiah is stricter than the cities of that day. He says, the gates of Jerusalem are not to be opened until the sun is hot. Aha! It's a little different than the cities around him. Notice this. Nehemiah is stricter than most cities. Why? Because Jerusalem is more vulnerable than most cities because it's just being rebuilt. I wish you could hear me this morning. Listen, some of you need to start being a little stricter about what you let in your life and out of your life. You need to guard your borders better. Especially if you're rebuilding and your life is vulnerable. What am I saying? Well, let me illustrate it this way. I believe, for example, families. If you're a father or mother here and you have kids and you're responsible for your family. And in the past... your responsibility would be to watch who came in your front door to affect your children. And if I were to say to you, hey, would you allow someone in your family, open up the door, let someone in your family that you think could harm your children or could expose your children to really bad influence, you say, no way, No way. Someone shows up at your door and there's some slinky guy dressed like he's about to, you know, hurt someone, and he's surrounded by a girl that looks like a prostitute, and they say, hey, can we just come in and hang out in your living room and hang out with your 10-year-old? You'd say, no way. I mean, are you crazy? Get that spike thing off your neck and you put some clothes on. You're going to hang out with my 10-year-old? No, I'm not going to let you in my house. Oh, no, we got our house under control. But let me tell you this. Your front door, in this day of technology, your front door is no longer the only entrance into your house. Because now we have boxes in our house, little black boxes that we call television. And those boxes have also become entrances into our household. And that entrance into our household needs to be monitored by adult responsible parents so that everything that's on those channels doesn't come just unfiltered into our household. You wouldn't let that streetwalker come in and hang out with your 10-year-old, yet your 10-year-olds oftentimes are hanging out with undesirable characters and watching undesirable things because the box is babysitting them. Oh, did it get quiet in here? Well, you see, as a parent, I know. I have a 15-year-old, a 13-year-old, and an 8-year-old. And I realize that your kids get nice and quiet if you put them in front of a television and just turn on the channel and you say, oh, they're busy. Yeah, busy doing what, though? You see, I believe it's the responsibility of the parents to monitor what your children can watch and what they cannot watch, because there's a lot of garbage out there. And it's your responsibility to determine what is it that people are watching in your household. What are you allowing to come into your household? And what are you... There needs to be border control. Hello? And the same for the internet. You know, it used to be that when someone wanted to access hardcore, devious, dark, sadistic pornography, that they would have to go to some seedy neighborhood and park their car in front of this little shack with little red lights that says adult bookstore, kind of look around, make sure no one's in, get in the back door, go behind a curtain somewhere, access the pornography section, rent it out, go back home, try to not their wife not see them, play the video when no one was watching, and then take it back. That used to be the way it works, but you see, it doesn't work that way anymore. Now, your 9-year-old can get on a laptop computer and within 3 clicks can be on a free internet pornography site that has graphic images that used to be only accessible in some dark adult bookstore, and now, within the click of a couple mouses, can be accessible to your 8 or 9-year-old, unless it's monitored. Are you tracking with me? And you see, a lot of parents, here's what I want to say, if you can't monitor it, don't buy it. You say, oh, Pastor, I just don't know about computers and stuff. Learn. Well, you know, I trust him. Oh. And you're gonna trust a 10-year-old with curiosity to have unmonitored access to the website where people oftentimes, if you're not careful, those pop-ups that are soliciting. Listen. You're in for a rude awakening. I'm saying it's your job as a parent to monitor what comes in your household, and it's your job as a parent to begin to protect your children from what they can be exposed to, because you are guarding your borders. Are you tracking with me? You're guarding the borders of what are coming in, and it is your responsibility to make sure, because you are the one that God has entrusted with the security of the borders of your own household. And if you're not careful, the borders of your own household can be easily breached, unaware, by technology. Now, I love technology, and I believe technology is neutral. It can be used for good or evil, and I don't think I'm not bad-mouthing technology, but I believe that all technology needs to be monitored. And if you have children at home, you need to be monitoring the technology and the waves that come in and out of your household. You need to be securing the borders.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in Chicago with the first half of his message called Securing the Borders of Your Life, which is from our series called Rebuild, Your Life, Your City, Your World. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a new Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.